It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Friday. We made it to the end of the week. We're excited. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. We're in Chicago with the Nashville Predators. Dr. Crane Nick Frazier is back at the studio in Nashville. JoJo, how you doing? Nice robe.
Yeah, good morning. I just had a up went upstairs for a mani-pedi and a little workout. I'm feeling good today. This place, the Ritz-Carlton, I'll tell you what, this is like the Beverly Hillbillies have come to the top of the line place and hanging out. So it's all good, man.
I had to break my streak. I did go to the Starbucks this morning, but so did you, and that's okay. Needed some coffee.
Have you tried to make coffee in your room? I mean, it's like
Well, I looked at it and I thought I was gonna
Yeah,
I thought Elon was gonna send up another rocket with SpaceX. It's kind of what it looked like. So I just said I'm gonna go downstairs to the lobby. So that was the easiest course of action for me.
I couldn't. I mean, I looked at it. I'm like, I'm gonna make coffee in the room, and then I'm thinking, I have no idea where. I couldn't even find the button to turn it on. So I found the button to turn it on
Sounds
about
like
5 minutes into it. I was
like
like,
my relationships,
and
but
then I
no,
just said,
good.
I'm done, and then went downstairs.
Yeah, no, I feel that. But really excited, and thanks to the Nashville Predators for having us on this trip. It's been a lot of fun so far. Obviously, the game is tonight. You heard in the update, Joachim Kimmel has been called up, and so we expect to see him tonight. Had an opportunity to, kind of mingle with some clients and Sean Henry, who's going to join us at 9:30 today. And so it's been really cool to kind of be here. You've never been on the road with the Preds before, so this is kind of
Nope.
a new experience for you. I've had the opportunity in the playoffs in the past, but it's been a while. So it's kind of fun to be around these guys and see them go to work. And I know they're all hungry to get a win tonight, and I feel like you and I are going to bring some extra luck.
Well, here's what I've traveled the Titans before, but anytime you got to travel, move a professional sports team around, there's a lot of pieces that have to go correctly to get there. And so I'm always just enamored about how it always goes so smoothly. The bus rides, the administrative staff, the luggage, and everything getting delivered. And it's just, I mean, this is every night for sports teams across
Yeah.
the country. So it was kind of cool watching all that going on.
Last night the NFL awards came out, and I gotta tell you, Joe, I was pleasantly surprised Josh Allen was named the MVP of the National Football League. Well deserved. I'm not saying that that Lamar Jackson didn't deserve it either, but I was glad to see the league and the voters and everything honor Josh Allen, because I really think he deserved it.
Yeah, I mean that's your MVP forever. You're labeled as an MVP. I was 50-50 with him and Lamar, so I either one that would have won would have been happy with me. So good for Josh Allen, man.
Yeah, no, I think that was interesting. What did you think of the Hall of Fame class that was announced? Now that as John McClain kind of explained to us, when he was on Wednesday, they've made it a little more difficult to get into the Hall of Fame. So only four inductees this year, but it includes cornerback Eric Allen, of course, spent a lot of time with the Eagles, the Saints, and then the Raiders at the end of his career. Jared Allen, who started his career with the Chiefs and the Vikings and then bounced around between the Bears and the Panthers at the end. Antonio Gates spent his entire career with the Chargers as a tight end. And a guy you mentioned the other day that you felt should be in, Sterling Sharp, wide receiver with the Green Bay Packers from 88 to 94. That's your Hall of Fame class, which means no Eli Manning on his first
Yeah,
ballot.
it was the smallest class of 2005. I love the fact that Sterling Sharp got into, you weren't around, you weren't born, I mean, you're young, but when he played 88 to 94, he played only with Favre for a couple of seasons. He played with Don Majkowski. Sterling Sharp, had he not injured his neck, would have gone down as I think one of the top three receivers of all time. So you saw what he was capable of doing, and he put the numbers up in the short time that he played for the Green Bay Packers. I was elated. I do not think Jared Allen is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's anywhere near being a Hall of Famer. They didn't ask me. I don't think he qual- When I think of Jared Allen, I don't think Hall of Famer. When I think of Antonio Gates, when I think of Sterling Sharp, when I think of Eric Allen, I'm thinking Hall of Famers. To me, Jared Allen, not a Hall of Famer. But again, good for
So
him.
what would, in your mind, he need to do differently to be a Hall of Famer?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, we always go
I mean,
back to the
looking.
stats, like, the 10 or 11 guys in front of him in the Hall of Fame. I just don't think he made the impact on the game that these other guys did. My opinion, that's it. And we're going to go back to the DeAndre Hopkins argument the other day. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know. I don't think he deserves to be in there. But again, good for him. I'm happy Sharp got in. I'm happy Antonio Gates got in. So there's some. And and real quick, you don't need to put eight or nine guys in every time. The fact they only put four in, I love it. Because I think a lot of guys aren't deserving of the Hall of Fame. They're great players, but they're not Hall of Fame players.
So just kind of looking at the numbers, and I know the numbers aren't everything for Jared Allen. The big one is 136 sacks in his career. That's in 187 games. That average, the 17 game average for that is 12.4 sacks, basically per season. He had 648 total tackles. 503 of those were solo tackles. 171 tackle for loss. He had four safeties in his career. I don't know. I feel like it's tougher for a defensive lineman. It's kind of tougher to gauge, and I think you did use a really good point of, did he was it how much did he change the game? How much did he impact the game? That's, part of judging who a Hall of Famer is. But obviously the committee thought that he did that enough.
Yeah, and that's again, when it comes to mind, that's me, is like, is he a Hall of Famer? And no, he's not. But to me, the Gates is. I mean, they resonate and they changed the game and had a great impact on the game. I just felt like, I know, and doesn't Jared Allen live in Nashville too? I think somebody told me. So anyway, congrats for him and go forward. But
He's done that curling. He and is it B Mark Bulger? I think do the curling stuff together.
I think Bullock was on that team too. They're trying to get curling going on.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What's going to be interesting is, and we'll talk about this moving forward, but you kind of brought it up last night when we were all sitting around talking about this Hall of Fame class of next year. And who's going to be eligible next year? Do you think, I mean, is Eli in next year, you think?
No. I think
Do you
Drew
think it's going to
Brees
take a
gets
minute?
in. I think Drew Brees is eligible next year. He gets in. Larry Fitzgerald's up. Jason Witten's up. Frank Gore is up. I mean, those are guys. I mean, Frank Gore is third all time in rushing. And you're like, what? And it's just like, my goodness. And Belichick's up next year for a contributor coach. So there's a lot that's
I think
going
they'll wait
on.
it. They'll wait a while.
But I think with Eli, I think it'll be a while. And I'm sure Peyton's already made phone calls to get him in for next year or something, but
I don't know
he's
about that.
not. He's not. Eli will get in eventually, but no, I mean, not next year. And then after that, I mean, is he coming up with Roethlisberger and Brady are going into the same year? So he's not, who knows?
How much do you think, this is kind of what I think happens, that now that they've made it more difficult for guys to get in, that you have to get 80% of the vote or whatever it is, that they kind of sit there and they go, okay, we know we're going to put Eli in. We know Eli is going to get in. They may look at it next year if, we know Frank Gore is going to get in, but we need to get this guy in first. So they hold off on people and kind of push it down, kick the can down the road so they can get somebody else in. I do think some of that might happen. And John's probably the one to ask that question to. But, I wonder if some of that happens because you can only put so many in each year, which I'm fine with. I think four is a good number for a Hall of Fame class.
Well, not only that, it's a good number. You don't have to put 10 guys in each time to do that. And they go on runs. Like, it was the receiver run for a while, then it was the left tackle run for a while. So it always kind of goes in spurts of different positions that get in to the Hall of Fame. And so what's the next run? But I agree. They know Eli's going to get in eventually, and he'll get there. I get it. He won two Super Bowls and then it all comes down to stats and things like that. But again, I just think the impact of the game. We talked to the guy I was talking the other day about Dan Marino. He's like, well, he doesn't deserve, he didn't win a Super Bowl. He's not the Hall of Fame. I'm like, I get that because championships matter to a small part of that. But the impact that Dan Marino had on the game was amazing. Another example, does Charles Barkley deserve in the NBA Hall of Fame? He never won a championship.
Yeah, no, I think so. I
Right.
mean,
And then, they got, that was the knock on Chris.
championships are a team award, not an individual award. And yes, they do have an impact on this, but they shouldn't define it.
No, exactly. And that was the thing with Elway up until the last 2 years of his career. It was like, hey, he's had a great career. He's great. But that one, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's John Elway.
Yeah.
Again, what was your impact on the game? And John Elway's impact on the game, and Marino's, and Chris Carter's impact on the game. These are all guys that never won championships, but they had this real big impact on the game of football, and they had the stats to go with it, and the longevity to go with it, and they deserve to be in, and they're in.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden says, Joe, do you think Dwight Freeney deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? If so, he has 11 less sacks than Jared Allen. Jared Allen deserves it.
No, Dwight Freeney, when I come to point of mind, Dwight Freeney is not a Hall of Famer. He had a great career. Does not mean you're a Hall of Famer.
I want you to kind of think about during the break in your mind what should define a Hall of Famer, because I'm a little, I mean, there's some I kind of agree with you with, and then there's some that I push back on. But let's check in with Robbie and Rex Road, who are standing
Standing
by out
by
at
out at
Duncan. I
Duncan,
believe
I
they're
believe
in
they're in
Brentwood
Brentwood.
this morning.
Morning,
Boys, how's
boys.
it going?
We're doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're
We're
just,
doing
fun,
fine.
having
We're
fun
having
here
fun
in
here in
cold
cold Chicago,
Chicago,
looking
looking out at the
out at the
city,
city,
but.
but
Excited to
excited
see
to
the
see the
Predators back
Predators
in
back
action
in action
tonight.
tonight. Oh, Chicago cold?
Yeah, it is.
Joe.
It is.
Joe.
It
Oh,
is.
yeah. Hey, you got to be kidding about Jared Allen not being a Hall of Famer.
He's not.
I think you're crazy. Give me the
Not
stat,
Hall of
Robbie.
Famer.
Give me the stat.
He had 7 straight years of 11 sacks or more, including one where he had 22 in a season.
What did he do to
No.
you? Did he like push you aside at a curling match at some point? What happened here?
No, he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, Grady got in, and I would have never voted for him. Doesn't deserve to get in
But
there. That's
what
me.
the Big Joe Hall of Fame is a tough sell. Jeez.
Yeah,
I
you
mean
know who
this
is in it, Joe? Percy Snow. He's in it.
There you go. Now
Yeah,
I'm
there you
talking.
go.
Guys, this is what I'm trying to understand what his criteria is, because I tend to agree with you. I think Jared Allen deserved to get in. And, there's guys that aren't in yet that I think will get in. We argued over DeAndre Hopkins the other day that, when it's said and done, I think he gets in. But I can't figure out what his criteria is.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get that nailed down with Big Joe coming up here. But yeah,
Yeah.
we're hanging out at Duncan in Brentwood today, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane out here. Lots of people rolling in already. Free coffee for a year they're giving away to the first 100 people. Lots of people pulling into the parking lot right now. Thanks for the folks at Duncan for having us out and coming out and hang out with us at Brentwood. We'll be here until 10 o'clock.
Awesome. Well, we'll check in with you here in just a little bit. Thanks for sticking around, and we'll see if we can get Joe to give us his criteria for the Hall of
Oh.
Fame.
I look forward to it.
Yes. Robbie and Rexro, go see him at Duncan in Brentwood and get some coffee as well. We'll continue this discussion, including looking at next year's potential Hall of Fame, because I think this is going to get trickier and trickier as things go along. It's Chase and Big Joe. We're live in Chicago today with the Nashville Predators here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday. We are live in Chicago with the Nashville Predators. They're in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks, 6:30 pregame with Robbie Stanley back in Nashville. And Max Herz and Hal Gill will be on the call tonight as the Preds look to get back in the win column against a team that has not had a good year as well in the Chicago Blackhawks. So should be fun at the United Center later on tonight. We're talking about the Hall of Fame, and it's funny. You're kind of wrong on this one, I believe. Jared Allen does get in last night, and a lot of people, you say no, you say he should not have. Matt from Camden also followed up with this. Jared Allen has 21 and a half more sacks than J.J. Watt, and J.J. Watt is for sure in the Hall of Fame. Do you think J.J. Watt's in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
You do? I think you froze. Or I froze. Somebody
No,
froze.
Joe froze.
Okay. Joe is frozen in time. Yeah, I think J.J. Watt is in the Hall of Fame. I hope everybody on this stream can see how he's frozen, because it's pretty funny. We'll try and get Joe back here in just a second, because he has also the list of who's eligible in, you know, the upcoming Hall of Fame classes. Jonathan does not like Joe and Joe's takes, because he calls this the Chase and Booty Show, because all of Joe's takes are nothing but booty. So Joe has gotten the people fired up this morning. 0247 says, that's the real problem. There's no concrete criteria of getting into the Hall of Fame, just a bunch of dudes in a popularity contest. To me, two Super Bowls does not constitute an impact to the game. So Eli is not a Hall of Famer. I think that championships should be a part of it. They're going to help you because you were on a championship winning team, winning a Super Bowl. I don't think it should define it. Now, you know, there's times where, like, you know, we sit here and we talk about D-Mace. D-Mace is, you know, nominated every year for the Hall of Fame, but he hadn't made it to the finalists and obviously hadn't gotten in yet. Eddie George has been nominated. And, you know, I wonder if they had won that Super Bowl, does it help push them over the line, especially somebody like Eddie, who I think is borderline. Are you there?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, what did I miss?
I was just, you know, talking about how championships should not define whether you're a Hall of Famer or not, but they obviously can help. But you know, Super Bowl is a team accomplishment. The Hall of Fame is an individual accomplishment.
I didn't know we had so many Jared Allen fans out there.
Yeah, apparently we do. All right, you have the list of the guys that are going to become eligible in the coming years. Next year is very interesting.
Yes, it is, because they have Drew Brees that's coming next year.
He's a lock.
He's a lock. And then Larry Fitzgerald.
Lock.
And you think about, Fitzgerald didn't win us. Larry Fitzgerald's impact on the game of football is known. It's known. You know what he did and all that. So, you know, he's got to get in. And Frank Gore's up the two as well. And Frank Gore played for six teams, number three all-time leading rusher. Only three players to top 16,000 yards, Emmitt and Walter Payton. And Frank Gore, his longevity made him a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Fitzgerald. If you look at the receiver all-time receiving list, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, and Marvin Harrison are ahead of Larry Fitzgerald. All three of them are in. And then Terrell Owens, Steve Largent, James Lofton, Lance Allworth, Chris Carter, Tim Brown are behind him, and they're all in. There's no question in my mind Larry Fitzgerald's a Hall of Famer.
All right, so here's one that's up for debate. Is that this is a 50? Philip Rivers. Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I don't think he's first ballot, but I'd lean yes.
I mean, I think he'll get in eventually. He's not a first ballot either.
Yeah.
And again, with quarterbacks, it comes that back. Did he win a Super Bowl?
No.
And that's where you go back to Marino. But Dan Marino's impact on the game was what it was. I mean, it was an amazing impact on the game of football. And you saw all that for years. I think he's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl, and that's a knock on him, and that hurts big time. Philip Rivers the same way. I mean, he got close, but did not get to didn't even make the Super Bowl.
I mean, so, Rivers has some of Rivers' number. Rivers has better numbers than Eli. He just doesn't have the Super Bowl.
Doesn't have the Super Bowl. And two of them.
Yeah, I mean, do you with some of this criteria, like if a guy played in a Super Bowl, does that help? I mean, it means they lost it if they just played in it. But
well, I mean, Marino made it in his second year. They got beat by the 49ers. So
yeah.
I think it adds to your cause a little bit. But I don't think with Breeze getting in, then you got Big Ben after that, and then Brady after that, it'll be a while for Eli gets in. What would be funny as hell, Chase, if the same year Brady goes in, Eli goes in?
Oh, yeah. Actually, look, I think that would be a great storyline. I mean, because they, you know, especially for Eli, those two wins over Tom Brady and the Patriots, I think are going to get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, adventure. And plus, Eli's going to have the power of the New York media behind him, and they'll say, "Well, that does, you know, it's still, you know, other places got to vote on that." They'll have enough pull that Eli gets in the Hall of Fame eventually.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Gary wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gary, what's up?
Not much. I just want to ask y'all, and I don't make no waves, but Tom Brady got suspended for deflating or whatever. So now, he's got good record, but he cheated. End the story.
Sure.
So I want to hear y'all's response on that, and thank you.
Appreciate you, pal.
Thanks, Gary. I mean, look, that, and I think that's why people don't like that dynasty and don't like the Patriots, because it wasn't just Deflategate; it was Spygate. I mean, there were different, you know, pieces of evidence of them cheating. Tom Brady's a Hall of Famer. Tom Brady. It's kind of like the argument with some of the steroid players in baseball. You even take away that stuff, like Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire or Roger Clemens, like they didn't need it. That's the unfortunate part, because they were a Hall of Famer anyway. Yeah. And I think those guys should all be in. If it makes you feel better to put an asterisk by their name and put an asterisk by Tom Brady's name, that, you know, Deflategate or Spygate or whatever, if that makes you feel better, then go ahead. They're Hall of Famers. There's no question. Tom Brady's the one guy that I said waived the 5 years and give him the gold jacket. Like, I just, you know, they are.
No, you can't do that, man. You're not. I mean, you can't. No, he's in, but he's got to wait the 5 years.
I know, but you. But that's. But what
I get
I'm
what
saying,
you're saying.
Yeah.
But Brady, look, all teams cheat. Don't tell me they don't, because they do. All teams cheat. Patriots got caught. Big time. Right. And so the allegations, they cheated in the first Super Bowl that Brady won when they taped the walkthrough for the Rams the day before, which was illegal. That came out. Is that Tom Brady's fault? I mean, he had to be the quarterback. I don't know. What's the collateral damage off of that? But if you take that stuff away, I agree. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, went to 10 Super Bowls? And I mean, that's a great debate. There's a lot of people who don't like Tom Brady. A lot of people. Because of all the cheating. I mean, it's just the way it is. You're not going to change their mind.
Right. And you don't have to like him, but I think you have to respect the resume. Let's check in again with Robbie and Rex Road, who are standing by at the Duncan in Brentwood. Boys, how's it going?
Blueberry glazed donut from here at Duncan. I'm feeling good.
Oh,
I'm with the caller. Hashtag never Brady. Brady's out, man. He's a cheater. Caller's right. Well, everybody cheats, but if you get caught cheating, if you get caught speeding, do you have to pay the speeding ticket? I do.
You do.
Yeah. Tom Brady got caught cheating. Get rid of the phone, get him out of there.
So if you think one cheating incident should kick him out of the Hall of Fame?
How many is okay, Chase?
I understand, but I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you on that one.
I think they're going to rename the Lombardi Trophy after Tom Brady. That's what Bill Belichick's pushing for.
Yeah.
What if they combine it, the Lombardi?
No.
Can they combine it?
Now we're talking. We're hanging out live today at Duncan at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane out in Brentwood. Lots of people rolling in. I just mentioned the donuts I had. They're fantastic. The coffee is flowing out here. Rex Rhodes on his fifth cup. He's only spilled two of them
counting?
So far. So.
Don't count.
He's really doing a nice job of that. Come hang out with us. We'll be out here until 10 o'clock today. And come join us at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane at the newly remodeled Duncan, the grand opening here in Brentwood.
All right. We'll check in with you a little later this hour. Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, is going to join us coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, live in Chicago, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 1063, the game. Nashville Predators, as they're back in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Pregame coverage at 6:30. The puck drop just after 7:30 here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. And we say hello now to the CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, who is somewhere in the same hotel as well. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Well, you don't know where I am, man. I'm not really going around. Not like you guys sleeping in. What the heck?
We're not sleeping in. I mean, we're working hard, you know, talking with the people in Nashville, bringing them some great sports talk. So that's what we're doing. But we're excited to be with you guys. It's really cool to, you know, I've been, you know, with the team before in the playoffs, but to see kind of a sponsor trip like you guys have. I know you have some of your sponsors. It's really neat. And we had a fun dinner last night at Lou Malinati's, and this is really cool.
You know, it really is. And, you know, for, you know, so many important people that put so much into organization and belief and investment, it's fun for them to see really how the guys do travel on a back-to-back. You know, it's still a charter flight, you know, five-star hotel, great food and all. But it's a grind as well. And I've always thought it was fun to, you know, see how the machine works, if you will. So I'm glad you guys are having fun and you could join us.
Tonight, if, you know, for those that are back in Nashville, you do have a Bud Light official watch party at Brooklyn Bowl. Wayne D's going to be there. DJ Battle, be a fun night watching the game as the Predators are going to come in here and beat up on the Blackhawks tonight. I'm calling it right now. But for fans that want to go out and watch the game, there's a watch party.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun. And whenever you're around Wayne D, it's hard not to have a good time. But Brooklyn Bowl is such a cool event venue, too. If you haven't been there yet, get on out. You know, ideally, we go into the Four Nations tournament with a couple of wins. It'll be nice.
We're talking with Sean Henry, our best friend. You're no longer the CEO of the Predator. You're our best friend. Hey, Sean, I was telling Chase this. Just the moving of a professional sports team is like, all right, hop on a plane. I'm in the city, and there we are. I'm telling you, I mean, I'm just mesmerized by all the moving pieces that have to go correctly to get your team into a city and to play a game and get out of the city. I'm telling you, it is something that'll blow your mind if you've never seen it before.
You know what it really is? You guys have Brandon Walker and Pete Rogers on, you know, one day, because, you know, to hear what they do and the stories and the things they deal with, or, you know, just weather concerns. You know, last night when we were checking in the hotel, you know, I was up back in line, not up front with UVIPs. Just talking to the woman that runs the hotel we're staying in right now, and she, Brandon, and I were talking, and you forget how many problems they can have coming in and out of Chicago, just from a weather standpoint. And, again, what Brandon does, what Pete does, I mean, literally, we move our locker room and our medical facility, you know, from Nashville to Chicago, back to Nashville and throughout the country, and it really is an amazing thing to watch. And, you know, those guys, I don't know how they do it. You know, they'll play a game tonight. We'll land, I don't even know, 1, 2 in the morning. They'll be on the ice in the morning. Tomorrow, back at Bridgestone Arena, play a game again and do it all over again. It really is pretty cool. And the cookies don't stink on the plane either.
Right.
They don't, they're good.
They don't, you know, with an NFL team, you know, they'll have 8 or 9 away games. But, you know, they're not back-to-back the next morning. There's a lot of moving parts of that as well. But you got 41 road trips. And sometimes they're back-to-back. And all, like this one is right here. So the process of making sure everybody is on the same page, I mean, and you guys, most teams pull it off, but I'm telling you, I would be so stressed out, Sean, to make sure that this player, that player, or this front office member, or that person got there, it would drive me crazy.
Again, I don't know how the guys do it. I have a tough enough time just downloading my own, you know, ticket for the game, let alone worrying about, you know, hundreds of other people. And the logistics of going to, you know, the coordination of, you know, 4 buses, and there's just 160 people checking into a hotel at the same moment. I mean, that alone was amazing to see, right? I mean, you know, last night we had a tough time getting 6 people from the lobby to a restaurant when I was coordinating it. So it really is awesome. And again, they worked through so many problems that, you know, can change so many things. I mean, last year, I forget where we're going, wherever it was. I remember our windshield cracked on the plane, which, you know, seems like a pretty big deal, obviously. But we didn't miss a beat, man. We landed, it was changed, and we were back up in the air, you know, the next morning, you know, to the next city. But they just rolled through things. And, again, it's fun to watch them. I can't imagine, you know, how many antacids they eat a day or how many cups of coffee. But they make it look easy, but obviously it's not.
This is a question that's kind of might be a little just weird at this, but how often are you in contact with the NHL office when you got to travel or a problem comes up? Like if, you know, you're on the road in Vancouver, the hotel's not ready and, you know, you're frustrated. Do you ever contact NHL office, say, hey, we need a little help here with this or that?
You know, the league's very supportive, and we all network together. But again, all your travel's on you. Your team organizes everything. But again, you know, our team services person, Brandon Walker, he has a network, you know, the 32 teams kind of head of it. And, you know, they talk about what hotels are good, where they have problems, you know, what does our charter situation look like. And, you know, basically about 15 of us on the same charter. And, you know, so they work together really well. You know, I'm one of those guys where I love the league. I love the support they give us. You know, the leads on sales, you know, sharing of information, the yelling at us. But I try not to call the league as often as possible, because when I do, it's normally we have a problem. Like, oh, my gosh, there's a water main break outside of our building and the building's flooding. We can't play tonight. You know, so I guess the last time I actually called the league on a problem was 2.5 years ago. And I hope it's another 2.5 years before I call again on a problem. That is. So.
Sean Henry is with us, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. Saturday night, when you guys are back at Bridgestone Arena, it's going to be the third Music Heritage Night of the season. A little bit of a hip hop theme with Black Music Heritage Night. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the first 10,000 fans in attendance can get a mini vinyl record coaster with this year's Black Community Celebration jersey design inspired by street art and hip hop artist Eric Nymor. So that'll be really cool to see tomorrow night. But I love these Music Heritage Nights. They're really cool.
You know, the whole theme this year is playing into Music City, as we are. So then the individual celebrations we're doing tie into it as well. And it's so much fun, not just to see, you know, what comes about and how people come out and how they enjoy it, but when we connect with a local artist, you know, design the jersey and the logo and the story behind it, it allows us to put different people on platforms, you know, for a little bit more attention. And, you know, it's nice to show, you know, differences in our community at our games to bring the whole community together at the same time. And I love the way we do it. Our marketing team led by Brittany Austin really is just knocked out of the park this year in how, again, to show our differences in a really cohesive fashion. It really is fun. So look forward to seeing you there tomorrow night. And those mini albums are just fun collection pieces. They really are.
Yeah, they are. I have a couple of them, one from earlier this year. Sean, I close it with this. Eli's going to get in eventually.
We're not closing. No. We are not closing.
Nope.
Jill's coming on at 10. She texted me and asked me to stay on so we can do a four-man show.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well,
By the way, Joe, I don't know if you noticed last night. We were eating dinner, great conversation flowing. It was a good time, upbeat, party hats were on, confetti was dropping. And then Chase comes over and, like, drops a turd in the toilet. He's like, hey, man, I'm really sorry. I thought, like, there was a death in my mouth. Like, hey, Eli didn't get in. Not Eli Manning. Eli is a first name basis.
Yeah.
And I, as you guys know, I Irish goodbyed you. I had to leave. I was so upset over it. So
you did not Irish goodbye.
No, I Rockefeller goodbye because I picked up the tab and then left from after the restaurant.
Thank you for that.
Yes. You guys didn't even, like, wave to me walking out the door. But, yeah, you know, I love Hall of Fame selections because it makes us all talk, right? It brings up good memories, bad memories. And the arguments around sports are some of the best we'll ever have in our lives, right? They're just good-natured. They're fun. And, you know, like Joe said last night on the bus, look, Bill Simms is not in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning's not in the Hall of Fame. If they both don't get in next year, Joe's going to Canton and burn that baby down, right?
I'm going to take it down, yeah. But look, man, you got two Super Bowls. You can't take those away. Your Giants have won four Super Bowls. So it's not like they're not being honored. I mean, they're forever heroes for what they did.
Well, they are forever heroes, but there is no one that's not in the Hall of Fame that has won two MVPs of the Super Bowl. So I think it's ridiculous he's not in. But as Chase spoke to me last night when he was hugging me when I was crying on his sternum, he'll get in. There's no doubt about it. He deserves to be in. He's a special player.
Well, you know, Sean, if Jim Burt is not in the Hall of Fame, I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame either.
There's another guy that should be in, right? I mean, that guy won, I think, four Super Bowls, right? Two of the Giants, two of the Niners, perhaps. And he anchored that defense that, we all talk about that defense, but a very unheralded guy. But my gosh, I don't know if you know the names of the other guys if it were not for Bert. So, yeah, we can talk forever about the 86 Giants. Let's go.
Before we get to that real quick, tomorrow night Buffalo comes to town. And, again, as a sports fan, I just think it's cool because they only come – the Eastern Conference only comes to town, what, once or twice maybe a year? I just think it's cool when a team like the Sabres comes to Nashville because they don't get all the publicity of the Rangers or other teams. But there's a lot of Buffalo people in Nashville who love when the Sabres come to town, Sean.
You know, it's funny. When the Bills play the Titans or the Sabres play us, once a year, you discover more and more and more people are from that Rochester, west into Buffalo area. They all talk about, their weird food and what the real restaurant is that invented the wing. But it really is amazing how many Buffalo people we have. And it is nice to host them, once a year. It'd be better if we got to host one of those Eastern teams twice a year because it means we're in the Stanley Cup too. I love the Sabres fans that live here or visit, and I want them to have a great time and then, have fun cheering on their team losing. That's the real goal.
Yes, indeed. Sean, we will see you a little later today again. Thanks for having us here on the trip, and let's get 2 points tonight against Chicago and two more against Buffalo tomorrow.
Joe, he's really trying to work me into a commercial, is he? I'm not hanging up, guys. I'm telling you. We're going four-man booth, baby. I will. I'll see you in a little bit, probably in the gym in a bit, I bet.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Sean.
See you, guys.
Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. I mean, we do have to go to break
right
at some point. Let's check in with Robbie and Rex Road one more time, who are at Duncan in Brentwood. Boys, how is it out there?
Yeah, tell Sean Henry to move aside. We're now the four-man booth now. He can't take over that crown when we were already doing that. So
also, turds are supposed to go in the toilet, but not in a punch bowl.
There's that as well. We just had ribbon cutting out here at Duncan, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane. People are everywhere. We got the mayor down here. We got the police department down here. All sorts of stuff going on. Come on by 4930 Thoroughbred Lane out here in Brentwood. The grand opening of the newly remodeled Dunkin'. I'm still scarfing down donuts. I got a hot chocolate. Rex Rhodes, I believe, on his seventh cup of coffee now as we speak.
Dude, you got to stop counting. I wish someone did that for Stilly last night on Bourbon Street. Well, maybe he would feel better today.
I hope so, too. I wish so, too. Having a great time out here, boys.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this, and I know it's fun, and hopefully Rex Road will give a speech at some point. I think the people of Brentwood need that.
I think that's probably what they've been missing their entire life is a speech from Rex Road.
I'm going to go put on that Dunkin' coffee mascot thing. That looks warm, doesn't it?
It does. For sure. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
Robbie and Rex Road out at the Dunkin' in Brentwood. Joe and I are in Chicago. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. We'll have more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're live today in Chicago. Predators and Blackhawks later on this evening. Really looking forward to that matchup. Two games left before the Four Nations Tournament break, which is going to be good, I think, for this team and a lot of teams around the NHL. But it'll be fun to watch the Four Nations Tournament as well. We've had some fun talking about Hall of Famers and should they be in, should they not be in. I think, as Sean Henry suggested to us, we could do a whole show on guys not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely you could. Yeah, I mean, it begins and ends with me with one guy. You know who that is?
Dale Murphy. Well,
there's another one. Who's number two on our list?
Ed Too Tall Jones.
Unbelievable that Too Tall Jones is not in the Hall of Fame. It's unbelievable that they've never put that man in the Hall of Fame. It's just crazy.
I agree with you. So that's certainly something that we can do. Coming up next, we'll get into more football, the Super Bowl this weekend. It'll be on Fox 17, and Fox 17 sports director Jill Jelinek is going to join us at 10. We'll get her thoughts on all of that, plus a really cool promo that they did promoting the big game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Prince's Hot Chicken. Maybe you want some Prince's Hot Chicken for the big game. The original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. That gift card is good for the Tanger Outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. More with Jill coming up next. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.